Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of hope to raise faithful kids. I'm Tony Kolenk, a law school professor, the father of five grown homeschoolers, and the author of the Harwood Mysteries fiction series for teens. If you're looking for a good Christian series for your teen, please check out the Harwood Mysteries. In particular, book two, The Haunted Cathedral, actually takes place in Lent, of course, in 12th century England. On today's show, my guest is going to be Kate Waldyke, a senior in high school and part of the YouTube duo known as Catholic Mom and Daughter. My guest today is Kate Waldyke, a homeschooled senior in high school. She runs a YouTube channel with her mom, Jen, known as Catholic Mom and Daughter. And on that channel, they review books and curriculums. They discuss all sorts of interesting topics about life with teenagers, homeschooling, crafting, fashion, and even Jesus. Kate and Jen have been guests on the show before. They've reviewed several books for me, and I'm very excited to have Kate here today. She also plays the piano, by the way, and is finishing up her senior year in high school. Kate, so great to have you back on the show.
Awesome to be back again. It's been a while.
It has. And now you are flying solo. I guess that's a sign that you truly are about to spread your wings as you are finishing up your senior year in high school. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, I'm a senior this year. I am 18. I've been homeschooled all my life. I've been Catholic all my life. I play piano. I love reading. I work with the seniors, all that good stuff.
And of course, we've talked in the past about Catholic Mom and Daughter and how you and your mom, Jen, started this channel. Gosh, it's got to be, what, over two years now?
It's
getting there. And I see your subscribers just keep on growing. God is blessing your ministry. Tell us a little bit about that for those who might not already be fans of yours. How did Catholic Mom and Daughter get started and what do you do on the channel?
Let's see, I got started in the summer of 2020. We were recording Vacation Bible School at church, and we had a lot of people tell us that we worked well on screen together. So my mom finally convinced me to start a YouTube channel. She was the one who had been talking about it for a while. And I think she was trying to get me to do something that the colleges would look at and like. So I guess I just broke finally, and we started recording videos. And we do a lot of different stuff, books, homeschool, we do cooking, fashion, we talk about saints, all sorts of different things that are Catholic, Catholic mysteries, you know, whatever. We've probably done something of everything at this point.
And how do you pick your topics? Do you get involved with giving your mom ideas, or is she giving you all the ideas on this?
She mostly gives me all the ideas. I'm very bad at coming up with topics, but it works out.
All right. But you bring the energy. But you know what? I've been thinking about this. And I don't know if you've talked about this or made any decisions. And, you know, as you're getting through your senior year of high school, are we going to see Catholic Mom and Daughter continue as you get out of high school?
I think for the foreseeable future right now, you will definitely see it continue. But depending on what life throws my way, what God wants me to do, it might shift, but I can see it definitely continuing as it is for quite a while.
Yes, of course, all good things come to an end. But as you mentioned, this is really not something that every teenager in America is doing and does kind of make you stand out. It gives you a lot of great experience. Just seeing how much you've grown, I'm sure. Do you feel like you've grown?
Absolutely, yes. I used to have a lot of social anxiety, and I think YouTube has really helped with that and with communication, just being more confident in myself. So, yeah.
Not every teenager can say that YouTube's helped them with their self-confidence. You know, one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you is because I do think, you know, what you've been doing is really so amazing, and that, you know, you're an amazing teen as a Catholic teen, somebody who's putting your faith into practice, not just with a YouTube show, but I know that it goes beyond that. But where do you see people of your age today with their faith? Are you kind of a standout, or are you not that unusual?
I hesitate to call myself a standout, but I do agree with you that not a lot of people do this. And I think teens today are kind of split sometimes. The culture is very hard on us. So a lot of us, you know, succumb to that and sort of fall away. But those who are invested in their faith are really invested. Like my generation, Gen Z, they're very, you know, they have an iron grip on what they believe in. They're not going to let it go. So I don't want to say it's like 50-50, but I definitely see a split in the teens today. Some of them really love it. They really get it. And then others, they don't.
Can you pinpoint for yourself a time where you really felt that your faith was developing in a way that you were really making it your own?
My faith really did start to develop sort of alongside the YouTube channel. That started to definitely change my faith for me. And I started to sort of choose my faith more as my own instead of living my parents' faith. I started to, you know, dress modestly, for example, because I wanted to. So that was a couple of years ago now. And it's just slowly grown ever since.
Now, what about other teens that you know, other peers that you have, whether they're on social media or in school or groups, that kind of thing?
So for some people, I sort of seen them fall away more from their faith. And then other people, it's very hard for me to tell. Some of them just seem to stay steady, but obviously I don't know what's going on in their lives. And then on social media, I see a lot of people who love talking about God, love talking about Jesus and growing in their faith. So I've seen people on all different routes at this point.
Every generation, I think, kind of reflects upon itself. Do you feel like you think that Gen Z is somehow different than maybe other teens were back in the past?
I would say that we're quite different. Just our opportunities and what we have available to us is so much different, and how we use those and spreading our faith. And then the culture is also a lot different. What we have for us and against us has vastly changed so much.
Where do you think Gen Z is doing some good things? Like if you were going to list hey, I think this is where my generation is actually doing some good stuff. How would you evaluate that?
Well, I think they're doing a really good job of spreading their faith, using social media, especially to reach other people. Like I mentioned earlier, Gen Z is very strong what they believe in. So they're also making a really good, strong fight for our faith as well. I think a lot of, we're going to get probably some good apologists out of the Gen Z generation, you know, really willing to fight for their faith. I feel like definitely some of them are making a good face for it as well and are reaching more people, you know, definitely being more open about it.
And what about on the other end? Where do you think teens are struggling today or maybe, you know, not living up to what you would, you know, hope for them?
We're up against so much in this world. So I think we often struggle with a lot of the modern topics on what the church believes, you know, gay marriage or abortion, astrology, all things like that, which is a lot of the stuff that adults don't like to talk about to us. So I think we're struggling with there. And for myself, I know I've definitely struggled with justifying that type of thing. I don't know. I'm always like very wary about anything I have to justify. So I think there's a lot of the weak points, I think, are a lot of the newest stuff, like I mentioned earlier, that we're dealing with.
Why do you think adults are a little hesitant to talk to you about some of those topics you mentioned?
Oh, I don't. Does anybody really want to talk about some of this? Honestly, it's just, it's so touchy. Honestly, everybody's so sensitive about those topics, and it's just so much easier not to bring it up. But then we have the pitfalls in my generation where no one's telling us.
So if you were going to give me advice, since I'm a little older than you, about how do I talk to somebody in Gen Z about some of these sensitive topics? Do you have any pointers for us?
I would say the easiest way is probably to just lay out, you know, what the church teaches on these topics. And you don't have to go into great detail to say, this is what we believe and this is what we don't believe. And I think it could even work to just leave it as that, because then the teen takes that information and processes it and starts applying it to their own life without feeling like they're getting bombarded or lectured about it.
So let's say we did something like that. Your mom comes to you and says, hey, astrology. You mentioned astrology. That's actually a really interesting one, because it seems like, especially maybe teenage girls, are really getting into looking at tarot cards and all this kind of stuff. So, one of your parents comes and tells you, hey, here's what the church teaches on this. They give you the most basic stuff, and then they leave the teen with sort of that basic information. What do you think a typical teen is going to do at that point?
I think it just helps them, think about it. And now it's something that they know, something that they can be aware of. Or if it's something they've had a run-in with in the past, it's sort of like, okay, take a step back, almost like examining conscience. Do I need to go to confession? And how can I avoid this in the future? So it just sort of sparks that, and then they get to run with it.
So one thing you said that was really encouraging is you said you thought that the faithful Gen Zers who really were embracing their faith were doing so and owning their faith in a way that maybe your parents or grandparents might not have owned their faith as teens. So what does it look like today for a Gen Z teen to own their faith? What would that look like to us?
It probably looks like someone who is... they're very strong in their faith. They're willing to go to church. They don't complain about it. They have an understanding of their faith that others might not have. And then even a step further of that is they're talking to other people. They're proclaiming their faith. But I think the most important thing is there that they really understand it, and they've really chosen it for their own, and they're going to live that.
And I know you mentioned social media. I mean, obviously there are a lot of apologists and other websites out there that you can go to and learn. Is that where teens are developing this passion for how to present the faith? Or is it coming from their parents or their teachers at religious education?
I think it's coming sort of from all three. The basis is probably their teachers and their parents, but then social media is like the easiest way for them to sort of get started with that, because it's so accessible, so easy. There's that almost that barrier there. You're not actually like standing face to face and talking with people. I think it's sourcing from all of that.
All right. So if we wanted to, as parents or teachers, try to be more effective in bringing more teens to faith so we can get more of that energy you're talking about, what should we do as adults, or what shouldn't we do as adults that, will make it more likely that, we're leaving room for the Holy Spirit to lead our kids?
The starting thing is obviously teaching and educating our teens about their faith. That's a great thing to do. So many parents do that, yet some don't. And then the opportunities, having programs and things for teens, youth group, obviously, and just, giving them ways to connect with other teens that are on fire for their faith. That's very important. And then being strong in their faith as well. That's one way they can do it.
It sounds like parents might be more likely to be afraid to talk about some of these things, and so just don't even bring it up at all. Do you think that's a mistake if an adult just feels like, let's just let the religious education teacher mention that?
I don't want to say it's like a full-on mistake, but it isn't the best way to go about it, just completely avoiding topics, because there's no guarantee that the religious education teacher is going to cover it either, because they might be in the same boat. So I think adults kind of just need to bite the bullet sometimes and talk to us about these things, so you can learn and understand.
Suck it up, parents, and just
we'll appreciate it.
Have the courage to talk to a teenager about difficult topics. It's a lot easier, by the way, to say that about other parents than to actually do it yourself as a parent. All right, so we've been talking about you know, different ways to try to reach teens, to help encourage them in their faith. And you mentioned social media now a few times. It seems to me that there is a lot of media out there, and you guys review a lot of it on your channel, books, movies. What do you think are some of the virtues or vices that you see in the media today?
Let's see. So for some of the virtues, definitely the connection aspects to other people, getting to know other people, especially people of the faith. There's also a lot of opportunities there, like getting on this podcast, you know, that came through social media. And then there's the basic entertainment values, but then also sort of into that, there's a lot of inspirational stories about people in the faith. You can spread faith to others. There's a lot that you can do with social media that's really good. On the flip side, there's stuff that you see that you don't want to see, really. There's worry there, like, you know, what if I'm liking this post, but it says something that I don't agree with? What if I'm accidentally supporting things that are contrary to my values? You know, what if I have something come up that is pornographic or something like that? There's, you know, you never know what you're going to get on social media. That's quite a vice. It's also very addicting, you know, go down the rabbit hole of scrolling. So it's there's the good and the bad with social media for all of us.
On the addiction side, because I am around some teenagers, and I do notice that not just teenagers, actually, I think adults are also getting, you know, into this. Do you have any advice? How do you stop a teen from just getting totally hooked, where all they do all day long is want to scroll through TikTok or watch one YouTube video after another?
Well, you have to give them other things to do. You have to make sure that they have interests and hobbies, other things that are going to pull them away from the screen. But then for your teens, you know, you don't want to just be hovering over them all the time. So you have to give them some trust that they're going to put down their phone eventually. But I think giving them options away from the screen is probably the best way to keep them from going down that rabbit hole.
Or send them to Catholic mom and daughter, right? Let them if they're going to have to be addicted to scrolling through things, they could scroll through that. But all right, let's talk about church for a minute. It doesn't sound like this would be a problem in your family, maybe, but a lot of families, and actually with some of my own kids, when they got to be teenagers, at some point, some kids say, you know what, I'm just tired of going to church. I'm not getting anything out of church. And some parents, you know, say, okay, fine, you don't have to go to church anymore. Other parents say, well, whether you like it or not, you're going to church. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, is it helpful or harmful to force a teen to go to church?
I think it can be both, honestly. It can help and it can hurt. I mean, obviously, you don't just want to say to your teen, oh, you don't have to go to church anymore. Obviously, you don't want to do that. But dragging them to church every single week is not helping either. You know, that kind of breeds an attitude of dismissal. So, you know, you can pray for them and just really hope that the Holy Spirit sort of changes their mind on that. And obviously, bringing them to church exposes them to all the graces and the Eucharist, a very close connection there. So it helps in that way, but it can hurt if they're just sitting there, you know, just bored out of their mind in church. You know, the teen kind of has to be the one to sort of come around in that situation and fully appreciate the Mass.
What about youth group? You know, do you think it's a bad idea to try to force a teen into a youth group in the hope that, you know, they'll maybe meet other teens who will get them more excited about the faith?
Forcing them, that's kind of a bad idea. If you can get them to go, I think it's a good thing. But I wouldn't just be like, you are going to youth group, whether you like it or not. I wouldn't do that. But if you can get them there, I think that's probably going to help. That's going to be a valuable experience.
Have you seen any good or bad ways to motivate teens to do some of these things? I mean, like, should parents be bribing them with privileges or allowances or threatening them with discipline or just trying to inspire them with inspiring life stories or something?
I mean, bribing might work. I've never seen a case of bribing to go to youth group. Definitely don't threaten your kid in going to youth group. They're already a teenager. They're going to retaliate back against you. But inspiring them, that's a good way. Trying to get some of their friends there, that's also a good way to help, you know, get them more in the mindset of, you know, hey, maybe I should check it out.
And you mentioned earlier that parents or adults just being good role models might make a difference. And I don't know that we always appreciate this as adults, because I know myself, you know, I kind of feel like, oh, I was trying to be a good role model, but it didn't seem to have much impact. What does a good role model look like, do you think, for an adult? And how can they even know if being a good role model is having any impact on their teen?
I think a good role model for an adult is someone who talks about the faith, who is invested in their own faith, and they let that show to their kids. Like, you know, for my family, my mom is obviously very invested in her faith. She's a good role model for the faith, but my dad is on the opposite spectrum of that. So for me, that's, you know, kind of off balance. And I think you can see that it's having an effect when your kids start to sort of act the same way. Like, you all love going to mass together, or you all love praying together every night, or whatever it is. So, you know, I think just showing your faith and showing how much you love it means so much to your kids, and they won't feel weird or awkward doing some of those things together.
Have you had any, you mentioned your mom, and that's great. If you want to talk about her, that's wonderful. Have you had any other role models that you would say, you know, yeah, this person really stood out in my life or really impacted me? And you don't have to necessarily name anybody, but, you know, was there anybody that really did kind of take that role? And in a way, would you credit them for impacting your faith in a good way?
There is one lady at our church who I would do vacation Bible school with, and she is like so devout. Like, even I swear her way of thinking is just entirely God-centered. Like, any good idea we have, oh, it's God, it's the Holy Spirit. And she's just an inspiration because she puts God into everything, and it's like, oh, I want to be able to think that way and live that way. So she's definitely been an amazing role model for me.
So really, it is just seeing them truly being sincere about their faith that seems to make an impact. And that's not always easy for adults, I think, you know, because everybody is on their own faith journey. All right. So all this talk about media and books and your channel has made me think it's time for us to do our entertainment segment. All right. In our entertainment segment, I like to ask our guests if they have a particular book or movie or something else that they would recommend. Of course, Kate, you do a lot of recommending on your YouTube channel, but is there one in particular that you might think is worth recommending today?
Yes, I would like to quickly mention a book, The Other Side of Beauty by Leah Darrow. This one is excellent for Catholic women and teens. So Leah was in the modeling industry for a long time, and she fell far away from her faith during that. So this is her talking about that and talking about her journey back towards her faith and understanding what true beauty is really like, you know, the beauty inside of us and what God sees instead of the external beauty. So this book is just incredibly inspiring, and she's got so many great words of wisdom in here.
So it's not a fiction book. It's sort of her own memoir of her journey in modeling. Do you find that those kinds of books actually have more of an impact on you?
Yes, I do. I would say they do have a good impact on me, because it's real. It's all coming from her experience. And so she has a lot of insights and a lot of quotes that are very hard hitting.
What age range do you think this book would be good for?
I would say older teens to adults. So maybe 16, 17 years old and up.
Is she addressing some adult type topics in there?
Yeah, not quite explicitly, but, you know, the modeling world is, it's very harsh. So I would put that for older teens.
Okay, great. So The Other Side of Beauty by Leah Darrow. To wrap up then, we've been talking about teenagers and faith and parents and role models. Do you have any final words of advice that you might give to a parent or a youth group leader or somebody else about teenagers and their faith today?
I would just say that a lot of times when teens get very invested in their faith, it's because some change has come about in them through the Holy Spirit. a lot of times they have to sort of choose their own faith and start living it. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you don't see results right away. And then also remember that some teens aren't going to really show it when they're impacted. Sometimes the impact is very quiet and internal, like I'm that way. So just because you don't see it doesn't mean that what you're doing isn't being fruitful.
That is a beautiful thought. All right. So Kay, it has been great having you on the show. I really appreciate your perspective and you taking the time to share with us today.
Loved being here. Thank you for having me.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. We have been speaking with Kate Waldyke from Catholic Mom and Daughter, really about teenagers and faith. Again, this is Anthony Barone Kolenc. If you have a question for me or a topic you'd like to cover, drop me a line on my website at anthonykolenc.com. And you can also learn more about my historical fiction series there, The Hardwood Mysteries. Until next time, may God bless you and your families as we work together to raise faithful kids.